This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Tailgate.
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 It's time for the tailgate.
Toss me a cold one. Nothing better than a 7 a.m. beer and an unbrushed mouth.
Your official weekend destination for all things football.
You are looking live.
The granddaddy of them all.
NCAA.
Travis Hunter circles around, down the sideline. There he goes! The most dynamic player in college football! Touchdown, Colorado!
The NFL.
Williams, pressure coming. He felt it. Looked, saw it, evaded it. Still on the move. Looking around. Williams is going to take off for the end zone!
It's its own playground.
And now, it's time to kick off the tailgate with your host, Paul Pabst.
You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to the tailgate 670 The Score. I am Paul Pabst. We're in downtown Chicago, 28 degrees. Not that bad, actually. Robbie Triano and I opening up the city. The streets were empty today, Robbie.
Oh, yeah, they were empty.
Empty, cold, breezy, just you and I opening up the building, 670 The Score, for our final tailgate show of the season.
It's still empty. I'm looking outside. There's no one there.
There's no one on the streets. It's like we own the city, which we do. This is the tailgate. We started this show in August. It's a football show, college football, pro football, Bears, NFC North, rinse, repeat. We talk some food. We talk some beer, maybe even some Cubs. But it's great to be here at the Score Studios. I love coming here. First thing in the morning, getting the show going, downtown Chicago. Before we get to the Bears, before we get to the NFC North, before we get to Mark Grody, will be joining us in 4 minutes. Nice of him to get up early. Didn't see that coming. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft expert, will join us in about 20 minutes. It's never too early to talk draft. I'm really fascinated what the Bears are going to do. I do have a Bears draft policy that I'm going to announce later to the city. Robbie, this is going to shake up everything.
This city needs that.
Yeah, actually, probably I'm overselling it quite a bit. It's cold outside right now in Chicago. I think it's 28 degrees, but I don't think that's cold. Like 28 is serviceable cold in Chicago. That's like, it's pretty cold. Just put on a good jacket.
So I'm someone who just got a dog. Right. I'm realizing that not only am I cold, but now the dog's cold. So I'm living here and I'm realizing this place is just very cold all the time.
I know. I have a dog as well. Are you going to get one of those little dog jackets? I think like L.L. Bean makes them or anything. Those are kind of embarrassing for a dog.
Oh, I have a little puffy one on him, and it's a little like mini dachshund, so it just looks ridiculous on him, but it's nice.
You should get one that matches. All right, let's get to some football, 670 Score. Before we get to football, I want to say that I'm getting pretty pumped up for the Cubs season. I'm a Cub fan, grew up a Cub fan. I don't dislike the White Sox. I've talked to Molly about this. I'm not anti-White Sox. I'm from the South Side. But I'm really getting excited about the Cubs season. I saw an over-under on one of the betting sites that the Cubs over-under was 90.5 this year. That's prime playoff making numbers right there. I love Shota. I want to see him pitch in person. I'm actually your boy, Paul Pabst, right here on The Score, is going to Wrigley Field on Thursday. We're shooting some videos there for an undisclosed outlet. That'll be pretty cool. But getting in the city, I'm going to be in the city for about 8 or 9 days. It's great to be here, soaking in the city here on The Score. We've been on the show, The Tailgate, since August. And the football season for a Bears fan, for an NFC North fan, a college football fan, is a complete roller coaster. When we started in August, there was a lot of hope around the Bears, and we talked about it. I think we kind of ignored the offensive line issues, and there were some trades made right before the season to help the defensive line, but it's a roller coaster. If I would have told you when Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, they'd be in the national title game, you said, no way. And that's what happens in pro football, college football. Ohio State, people were off them for a lot. What happened to them with Michigan last year, people were off Ohio State, and they dominated the playoffs. Remember when Ohio State lost to Michigan in late November? Fire Ryan Day. That's what the season is. It's a roller coaster. And go back to when the Bears were 4-2 coming back from London. All is well. Let's talk playoffs. Let's start making playoff plans. And then all those losses in a row. Before we get to the Bears and Mark Grody in about 2-3 minutes, I do want to talk about the Super Bowl. Last week, Robbie, on the show, we talked about the Super Bowl. And we agreed, and Alex, all the guys on the show agreed, that it's got to be a tight game. It's a 1.5-point line. It doesn't feel like a blowout in any direction. The Chiefs always find a way to come back. It didn't work out that way. That was a whipping. That was even worse than the score. The score was like, should have been 40-6, a couple late touchdowns. But the Eagles, I had that game 27-24 Eagles in overtime. It was never that close. The Chiefs had one chance, I thought. Right about 4 minutes left in the first half, the Chiefs got the ball. They could have driven the length of the field. They had timeouts. They had time. And they could have cut it to 17-7 at halftime. If they would have cut it to 17-7 after how they were manhandled in the first quarter and a half of that game, I think the Eagles would have been like, wow, we shot our best shot. We're only up 10. But it never happened. The Eagles didn't let them come back. It went 24-0 at halftime. And that's one of those second halves where you're begging for relevancy of a game. And that usually doesn't happen in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs never made it interesting. I don't care about those late two touchdowns by Mahomes. Those are garbage touchdowns. No offense. But when he threw his second pick in the end of the second half, first half to Zach Bond of the Eagles, that's when it was over. Mahomes never became Mahomes in that game. So I want to talk a little bit about the Eagles. The Eagles win cleans up a lot with that franchise. It's great for Saquon Barkley. What a year Saquon, the running back, had. He becomes now a star again in the NFL, a big star. He was a star in college at Penn State. He was a star with the Giants. And then he had some injured seasons and it didn't really go that well. He's a star again, on and off the field. Nick Sirianni, the head coach, he has a temporary hall pass. A lot of people last year wanted to get rid of Nick Sirianni. He had to fire two of his coordinators just to keep his job another year. That's a classic coaching move. Fire a couple people, I get another year. When you win the Super Bowl, you're in the clear for a while. Ask Doug Peterson about being in the clear for the while when he won the Super Bowl with the Eagles a few years ago. Ask Joe Maddon with the Cubs in 2016 about how long you're in the clear when you deliver a city a title. So really interesting for them. Jalen Hurts, the quarterback of the Chiefs, is the biggest winner of the Super Bowl. He is currently enters that category of uncriticable. He's never going to throw for 45 touchdowns in a season. He's never going to throw for 5,000 yards. Neither did Troy Aikman. Troy Aikman used to throw like 18 touchdowns and 8 picks a year. And Troy Aikman never led the league in any category. You know who leads the league in categories? Matt Stafford back in his Lions days when he threw 37 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, and they would be 3 wins. You don't necessarily want to lead the league in categories. Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame. The only category he led the league in was interceptions 1 year in his career. Jalen Hurts now is just a leader. He's just a guy who gets it done. He's borderline emotionless on and off the field, which I love. He's a quarterback that when he came out of college, people thought he'd be a high-end backup. But you surround a quarterback with tons of talent on both sides of the ball, that's what happens. Now quickly to the Chiefs. The Chiefs had their balloon burst. The Chiefs were, whenever we were talking on this show, The Tailgate, or any shows on The Score the past couple weeks I was listening, people were making their picks for the Super Bowl, and everyone said, well, I can't bet against the Chiefs. I can't bet against Mahomes. That is now off the table for a little while. They were going for a three-peat, and then they got smoked on national TV, worldwide TV, in a Super Bowl. It's like, remember when Ronda Rousey was fighting Holly Holm, and she was the baddest woman on the planet until she wasn't, when she was knocked out on national TV? That happens sometimes. You lose your aura, as my daughter would say. She's 15. Dad, your aura just lost 2,000. I don't know what that means. She said the Chiefs lost their aura. I'm going to trust her. Let's get to the Bears. Little Super Bowl there, but let's get to the Bears, because there are a lot of offseason storylines. I want to get to the Vikings. I want to get to the Steelers quarterback situation, the Niners and Brock Purdy, Aaron Rodgers unemployed, the draft, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. We're going to talk a little bit about the draft in about 10 minutes. But the Bears season is well underway. And the coaching staff, it's all set. Here's my idea for the Bears draft. And we're going to talk more about the Bears draft. You ready, Robbie? The Bears and Ryan Poles are not allowed to draft any player under 275 pounds. Your thoughts?
You think about it. What do they need? They need an offensive lineman. They need a defensive lineman. That checks out.
Yeah. you're not drafting offensive defensive linemen under 290 these days. I think that Eagles average like 328 on their offensive line. I want no players who are under 275 pounds in the draft. I'm going to wink at it maybe in the fourth round with a running back who's like 230. But in the, how about this? The first three rounds, at least the first 40 picks, whatever. I think the Bears had three picks in the first 40. Nobody under 275. All right, let's get to it. Mark Grody covers the Bears for 670 The Score. Love Grody. Let's get right to it, Mark. It feels like the Bears had a great January. Everything fell right. Everything worked right. The coaching hire. It feels like all is well currently in Bearland.
It does feel good. It feels good to the point, Paul, where I'm already looking at the Bears and thinking about the Bears and saying, just how far away are they? Can we look back at a season in which the Bears lost 10 straight games and ended up with 5 wins? Mm. And yet, at the beginning of the season, Paul, and I remember talking to you one day when you were filling in and I was out at camp, and there was a lot of optimism. There were a lot of us were, I don't know, too many people who did not pick the Bears to, let's just put it at 8 wins. Most people picked the Bears to win 8 games. And then I kind of like sped through it yesterday. So if the Bears add 2 extra offensive linemen, maybe a running back and another weapon for Caleb, could they be back on those predictions that we were all making for at the beginning of this year?
Yeah, I look at it the same way. I feel really good. Getting Ben Johnson, it's one of those things when it was going on, I was like, I think that the Raiders are going to steal him. Like he'll get flirted with by Tom Brady and Bears will lose, but they spent and they got him. The one thing, though, when I got done watching the Super Bowl and I watched the Eagles, I actually thought, I'm like, well, the Bears are a little far away from that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're good. But when I see what Jalen Carter and that defense did, I'm like, with no blitzing, just 4 down linemen, I also think, like, don't go crazy as a Bears fan. Build both sides of the line and improve next year.
Yeah, it's so funny you said that, because I was talking about this on The Score, that usually after a Super Bowl, there are a lot of towns around America who are looking at the Super Bowl winner sports radio stations and saying, yeah, okay, that's the blueprint. That's the way you do it. That's the new thing. We need to get that. The problem with Philadelphia is that they've done everything so well. Like, Philadelphia is one of the, for some reason, they often get left out of the conversation of best organization. But what a great organization Philadelphia has become, where every year it seems like, except for some years, they put themselves in a position to potentially win a Super Bowl. That's exactly the direction that the Bears are going. Now, that's going to take some time, I think, to have that sustained success where every year you get a chance and you get a bite at the apple, but it'd be really nice. But man, that's a tough blueprint to follow, the Philadelphia Eagles. That's not just a tweak or two away from most teams. They're not just a tweak or two away from being that complete of a team.
Yeah, Mark, I want to get to the Bears, but staying with the Eagles for a second, they don't have the best player in the game at really any position, as good as Jalen Carter is. Like, they have a good quarterback. They have a good head coach who people still have questions about, Nick Sirianni, but it feels like they may have the best GM, which is not sexy and it doesn't get a lot of like run. But if your GM is awesome, the rest of stuff falls in place. All right, let's get to the Myles Garrett trade demand. That dropped during the week in Super Bowl week. Myles Garrett of the Browns wants to be traded. He's going to be expensive. I'm of the ilk, I guess you'd say, of the Bears should not get involved in this one and hold their draft capital. And they have draft capital. Where do you sit in on this one?
I mean, I'm a little bit more interested in exploring that probably than you are, just because they have tried things in the last couple of years to have a complete set of edge rushers. And we know that they have one in Montez Sweat, and Sweat had a bad year. Let's be honest. He was not the force that he was when the Bears traded for him in the middle of the season prior. Beyond that, Paul, I mean, I'd be curious to hear more about why you would not be interested in going after somebody like that when you know how horrible it's been for the Bears opposite of Montez. And before Montez Sweat, there was nobody.
I'll jump in on this. I think the Bears draft picks are this year and next year are a little too high to give up. If I'm the Lions, I'm all in. The 28th pick of the draft this year and next year, let it go. You're trying to win one. I think the Bears weirdly are a little far away. And while he would help a ton, the idea of giving maybe 2 firsts and a second, those are some pretty high-end draft capital for Myles Garrett.
I lean against it. I'm not saying it's wrong. Like you said, right. You have good points, yeah. But I'm just leaning against it.
Yeah, no, I get it. And we're all kind of playing GM. And I think that's justified because of the parameters of the NFL. And you have to think about things more in football than you do in other sports at this point. So we all do play along with it. I just hope, you know, it doesn't have to be Myles Garrett. I'm not like sitting here telling you, Paul, like I'm like, oh, you got to do it and you're crazy for not doing it. But my God, they need to take care of that issue that has been steadfast in the Bears organization for really since Khalil Mack. And I know that wasn't that long ago, relatively speaking, but all of a sudden you just do not have potent pass rushers. I thought maybe Dexter would break through when he had those four fast sacks last year. But unfortunately, DeMarcus Walker and Dominique Robinson and the rest of these guys that they have tried to rush the quarterback, it just hasn't worked consistently.
Mark Grody, 670 The Score, covers the Bears. Joining me, Paul Papps on the tailgate, also 670 The Score. That's why we're here. I want to get to free agency. We're about 3 weeks away, but I'm going to be super excited if the Bears announce one day, I tune into your show or one of them read the paper, and they just signed the best center on the free agent market. Wouldn't that just be thrilling?
Especially because that position has just been so hard. I mean, not just last year, and actually last year, relative to years previous to last year, was actually sort of steady. And I'm not saying I want Coleman Shelton back or Ryan Bates competing for the position at center, but I certainly don't want Lucas Patrick back in the building. All due respect to Sam Mustipher, I don't need Mustipher hiking to my quarterback. I don't need any, with all due respect to Cody Whitehair. I don't need Cody Whitehair.
Yes, Mark.
It's been a while, Paul.
I'm telling you, when Olin Krutz is still the best center in town, not in theory, but in actuality, that's not good. And I love Olin, and he could probably he'll give you 20 snaps. He'll take someone's head off. So I have another rule I want to run by you. The Bears draft, they should not draft anyone under 275 pounds. Do you co-sign?
They should not draft anybody under 275
pounds. Yeah, if you're under 275, you're not on the draft board. We don't need wide receivers. Running backs, maybe in the fourth or fifth round. The bigger the guy, the more you draft him.
I like the way you put that. Yeah, I think that the Bears are in that spot right now. I mean, it is all about the offensive line and getting that fixed. And obviously, who knows what they will do with the D-line. But yeah, man, then that offensive line, it's interesting to see all that. I mean, Tevin Jenkins, I love Tevin Jenkins, but he's probably not going to be back. We know Nate Davis is long gone.
Yeah.
And so it'll be interesting to see how they handle Braxton Jones and what they like in the interior. Did they like Mike Pryor as a possibility in there? So it's going to be very interesting. Or Matt Pryor, I should say, to come up with those guys.
I want to ask you about the NFC North. You cover it with your podcast. I'm pretty fascinated. Obviously, the Lions should be good, but you lose a couple coordinators. They're going to add some people. The Green Bay Packers are good, not great. I'm still not 100%. I'm like 90% on Jordan Love. But if you were running, let's say you're running the Vikings, what would you do with the quarterback position and the decisions they have going forward?
Oh, man, that's a tough one.
Real tough.
I mean, you have to look at it and say, it seems like we know how good Kevin O'Connell is as a head coach and what he has been able to do. Can he, was it his magic that turned around Sam Darnold? In other words, can he just take any quarterback and make the quarterback good and make the offense represented and make the offense a force? And in that case, I would say it's J.J. McCarthy that you do have to allow to develop. That's probably the direction that I would go. I want to know about the unknown, and I'm not sure, Paul, that I trust that Sam Darnold is it. Even though we spent the whole year last year doubting Sam Darnold, I still doubt Sam Darnold.
Well, he did play a little shaky in the last few games, and that was, in my opinion, enough for the perception to weaken on him that if they moved on, people are like, I see it. You'll get one of those begrudging, I see it. All right, before we let you go, Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels are intertwined forever because one and two of the draft. Jaden Daniels has a huge head start perception-wise. How do you look at his season, not just compared to Caleb Williams, but Jaden Daniels' rookie year? You've seen a lot of rookie quarterbacks. How would you grade out that rookie year?
I mean, so impressive. I think the most impressive part about it, Paul, is the fact that he did hit a wall during about the middle of the season where he wasn't looking good, and it looked like he was coming down to earth, and it looked like maybe Caleb was catching up with Jaden in terms of the Rookie of the Year race, and then Jaden got it back on. So I am super impressed. I've said this out loud many times on the Score. It doesn't typically go over well, and I'm sure it's not going to go over well this morning here on your show. But
you're right.
But Jaden Daniels is well ahead of Caleb Williams right now. Washington, yeah. And this softens a little bit. Washington is well ahead of the Chicago Bears right now. If that makes it easier for people to take in, and I don't like saying it, like I've been pro Caleb Williams for a long time. I still am. I still think Caleb's going to be really good. But there's no way you can look at these two teams or these two quarterbacks and say that Jaden Daniels isn't well ahead of Caleb Williams, and Caleb can make up that play, that space in a hurry, because he's that talented. But Jaden is ahead of Caleb. I said it again, Paul.
Yeah, it's true. It's a fact. It's really not even an opinion. Mark, you know what I do to make myself feel better about it? I remind myself that Andrew Luck's rookie year and RG3's rookie year in Washington, RG3 was a much better rookie. And then it changed directions. I'm not rooting for anything bad to happen to Jaden Daniels. He's fantastic to watch.
Yeah.
But rookie years and the rest of it don't always go the same way. Before we let you go, I'm going to give you a second to think about it. What was the on the field, the best and worst moment of the Bears season? I'll go first.
Okay.
My favorite moment was still in the Titans game. Was it Jonathan Owens with the scoop and score on the block?
Yeah.
It was such a sunny, nice day, and it felt so good. I know the Bears had a great game in London, but that scoop and score off the block punt was so fun, and it opened up, you know, freshness of the season. It was really sunny out. The worst moment, and I don't know if anyone can go against this one, is not just the Hail Mary against Washington.
Yeah.
An hour after the game, when the video was released of Tyreek Stevenson jawing with fans and then scrambling like me, running to get my kids at pickup to get back in the play and messing it up for the Hail Mary. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, those are obviously really good ones. We actually did an episode on the Take the North podcast, Dan Weider and I, where we ranked the losses. Like we just went. I'm talking about the 10 game losing streak.
Very snarky.
Where we just went in. I will give you my worst one first, because those are obviously way more top of mind right now. I'm sorry, man, but the blocked field goal against Green Bay. That was it's freaking Green Bay.
Yeah.
So that was just, for me, that was the worst. That was
going to be like three wins. It was a beautiful day. Oh. And if beating Green Bay would have, I think you talked about this on your show, would have cooled things off. And Eberflus, did he get fired 2 weeks?
It was after Detroit. After Detroit. Yeah.
If they somehow beat Green Bay and put up a decent show against Detroit, I don't know if Eberflus is fired as quickly. The can may have been kicked a couple more weeks.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Detroit game, it just became untenable with Eberflus, because national audience caught on to it. And there wasn't one national pundit, I'm sure that you could speak on this as well,
right,
who wasn't saying, oh, my God, what was Matt Eberflus thinking at the end of that game? So it was like, look, man, Eberflus, we tried to save you week after week after week, but this is untenable. Best moment this year? Oh, man, I'm struggling in my brain to think of against whom it was. But there was a back-to-back plays that Caleb Williams, it was against Minnesota. It was against Minnesota. That Caleb Williams made. It was a drop in the bucket pass down the field.
Oh, yeah.
In traffic to DJ Moore, I believe it was. Or was it Rome? But it was like, it was an elite pass. And then on the very next play, Caleb Williams rolls to the sideline, DeAndre Swift in a scramble drill. Remember this? And he kind of jumps up on the sideline, flings it down the sideline to DeAndre Swift, who also made a great play. And those were elite throws. And I remember talking to Caleb by his locker. Every once in a while, Caleb or PR staff will allow a reporter to go have a quick little powwow. And I did. I was like, were those two of your most elite throws this year? He told me, he goes, the drop in the bucket one, yeah, that was pretty elite. He goes, the one that I fling down the sideline, though, you know, I did that a lot at USC. No big deal, Caleb told me.
I remember watching those plays, and I reacted like like seeing a dog driving a car. As a Bears fan, I'd never seen anything like that before coming from a quarterback with a blue jersey. I'm like, that doesn't compute. Bears quarterbacks don't do that. It didn't even make sense. Mark, it's right. Great having you on the show. I love having you on the show. I love listening to the podcast. Hopefully we could do some more sometime, but thanks for coming on the tailgate.
Thank you, Paul. My pleasure. I appreciate you having me on, man.
I'm telling you, I could chop it up with Grody all day. That guy, he's snarky like me. He's goofy. I love it. Talking football. We're going to do more of that next. This is 670 Score. I am Paul Papps. This is the tailgate. Coming up, joined by ESPN NFL draft expert Matt Miller. What are the Bears going to do? What's the NFC North going to do? All that next. This is the tailgate. 670 The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Pabst.
I love football. Love it. Love it.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Love it. Love it. Love it. 670 The Score, The Tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst, your MC for the next 30 minutes. We need another hour, Robbie. Pop another hour on this show. We got a lot to get to.
Sorry about that early odds. You've been cut off.
Love early odds. And we have baseball later. Is Ryan McGuffey coming in to talk Cubs?
Yes, and Bruce Levine live from spring training in Mesa.
Oh, we got to talk about spring training. By the way, your boy Paul Pabst, host of the Tailgate on Score, once worked as a beer vendor in spring training for the New San Francisco Giants in Scottsdale. Long time ago, not to date myself, but I wanted to do a freelance article about what it's like to be a beer vendor at a minor league ballpark. And I did it for a local magazine in Phoenix, and I became a beer vendor for 2 days and wrote an article. I didn't have a lot of dough at the time, and beer vendors make some good dough. So I was a beer vendor for 3 weeks at spring training.
I need to hear your like best beer here. Get your beer here.
Cold beer here. You just do a real thing. Oh, you can't even tell what they're saying. It's like Eddie Vedder singing in the 90s. You just do what you got to do. All right, back on the tailgate, 6-7 to score. Man, it's cold, but I love it. I love the cold weather in Chicago. But if you want to go to Vegas, the Slam, see that segue, Robbie? Oh, Mitch is going to love that. The Slam Dunk in Vegas National Contest, it's easy to enter. Just download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the score each day for a minimum 1 hour. You got to listen for at least an hour. I listen for like 4 hours a day. For an unforgettable trip for four to the first weekend of the tourney in March, which is the best, stay at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Airfare included. $20,000 to fund the ultimate viewing experience in Vegas. Learn all about it. Slam Dunk in Vegas. Download the Odyssey app to find out more. And the tailgate is brought to you by Homage. They've been with us all season. Go to homage.com. They got All-Star Weekend NBA stuff. Buy one, get one 30% off. They got MLB starter jackets. Robbie, I just saw these. They have Cubs and White Sox starter jackets. It's like 1989. It's like a Depeche Mode concert's going on. It's fantastic.
I need it.
Go to homage.com and check out their MLB starter jackets. And, of course, they got all the football gear. Coming up in 2 minutes, we're going to talk to Matt Miller, the NFL draft expert. He'll join the show. But as we enter the offseason, I love football offseason because sometimes in November, your team's out of it. Sometimes they're out of it really badly in November and December. No offense. But as we enter this offseason, there's so many great storylines. I'm fascinated by what the Vikings are going to do at the quarterback position. They got J.J. McCarthy going into year two, knee injury year one, couldn't play. Sam Darnold plays fantastic till he didn't at the end of the season. Sam Darnold played just shaky enough in those last couple of games for the Vikings that I think the door is open for them to move on. Their head coach, Kevin O'Connell, joined the Dan Patrick Show, a show I work on during the week, and he was... You know, he was glowing about Sam Darnold, but he didn't say, that's our quarterback. He didn't say J.J. McCarthy's our quarterback. The Pittsburgh Steelers, are they going to give Justin Fields a year? Does he get a year under his belt there? Or do they try something different? People think they may try Aaron Rodgers. Are the 49ers going to pay Brock Purdy $280 million to play B-level football? I think he's a B quarterback on a very talented team. I think he was exposed a little bit this year. Does Aaron Rodgers have a job next year? I have no idea. Maybe Vegas. That'd be my pick, that Vegas gives him a chance. But if they get Shedeur Sanders in the draft, I don't know if that would work out too well. You know, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, who's third in the draft? I'm fascinated. Going back to the Bears draft, I hear and we're going to talk to Matt Miller in 1 minute, it's a deep draft of defensive tackles. I know that's not sexy, but the Bears have three picks in the first 40. The best thing I could tune into to watch the draft is hear that the Bears get a defensive tackle, a center, and an offensive tackle. Sign me up. Get a running back in the fifth round. Isaiah Pacheco of the Chiefs was drafted in round 7. Kareem Hunt was available this year for free. He was at home on his couch. As I said, my policy with the Bears this year and Ryan Poles, if I run into him on the street while I'm walking around, no players in the first 3 rounds under 275 pounds. That's a rule. Let's get to it. All right, coming up, Matt Miller. I know the draft is a few months away, but this is our final tailgate show of the season, so we want to get to it. Matt Miller, NFL draft expert for ESPN. Before we get to the Bears and the NFC North, I want to talk about the Eagles. They win the Super Bowl. They've got a fantastic roster. How much of that roster was built through the NFL draft?
A lot of it, especially on defense. And I think that's the big takeaway. Jalen Hurts. To get Jalen Hurts at the top of the second round, pick 51, I mean, that sets the table for everything they've been able to do. You draft Devontae Smith in the first round. That's huge. The offensive line, largely homegrown other than Mekhi Becton. That's huge. But I think the big takeaway following the Super Bowl is that defense and what they were able to do. And so obviously on the D-line, Jalen Carter is, I mean, he's one of the best defensive tackles in the game. So he's fantastic. Milton Williams was huge for them, and he was like a third or fourth round pick. Their ability to just find those guys up front has been amazing. But then I think what they did last year, and you and I are old enough to remember, they did this once in like 1999, the Eagles did. They had a terrible secondary and then went out and drafted Lito Shepard and like Sheldon Lewis. And they got like, they redid their entire secondary in one draft. And last year, it's funny, I kept saying, hey, they got to do the same thing. They get Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, first two of their picks in the draft, and they don't win a Super Bowl without those guys. So it is, I mean, A.J. Brown, the trade to get A.J. Brown was huge. Saquon, a free agency, was enormous. But the bulk of this team has been built through the draft, and I think that's why they deserve so much credit.
You know, if you go back to that draft with Jalen Hurts, I went back and looked at your stuff, everyone's stuff, and everyone was like, he's interesting, he's a winner, he's a leader.
Yeah.
He might be a high-end backup quarterback or a project. I look at a team like the Eagles, and I don't know how good Jalen Hurts is, but he walks into a situation that's built for development, good offensive line, good defensive line, like a young Russell Wilson. And I think, John, you may agree, the scenario you walk into is as important as a quarterback you draft.
Oh, without a doubt. And so I've gone back. My Jalen Hurts, I had a grade on him as a future starter, which is, I don't know where I came up with that, but it
pretty
was
strong,
like,
though.
I really, yeah. And I had a Dak Prescott was like the level of player I thought he would be. Like, he'll be like, if he hits the ceiling, he's Dak Prescott. Well, now he's been in two Super Bowls and won one. So you could argue he's surpassed that. But situation matters. And, you know, we can even look at last year's draft class. Caleb Williams was the best quarterback in that draft. I will argue that tooth and nail. He didn't have the best rookie year because Jaden right. Daniels was in a better, he had a better play caller around him. Bo Nix had a better team around him, you know, and like that matter. Drake May coming in late in the year, I think having that time to watch and learn helped him out a lot too. So with Caleb, it's like that situation matters so much. And a lot of us, I'll raise my hand, I was leading the charge of the Bears. This is a great situation with all these receivers and this offensive line. And we forgot about the coaching staff, which is, I think, the Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels lesson we learned is, need good coaches.
Yeah, you can't draft a coaching staff, unfortunately. All right, we're going to get to the Bears in a second. I want to hit this draft, top of the draft, quarterbacks. Cam Ward, Miami, he had a different route there. Shedeur Sanders, he's more of a dropback guy than a run guy. People think because he's Deion's son, he's a running quarterback. Yeah. That's just not true, but he's really tough. Who do you think, if you had to bet right now, who do you think will take these two?
I think the Giants will take Cam Ward, and I think the Raiders will take Shedeur Sanders. Now, they both might have to trade up to do that.
Right.
But I think that's where the tea leaves are at right now.
If these two quarterbacks, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, were in last year's drafts with Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams, would it be close or a tier less?
Not even close. It's a tier less. And that's something I'm doing a lot of reporting on that. So spoiler alert, there will be an article on ESPN Plus relatively soon about this exact thing. And I won't give it all away just yet, but no scout I've talked to is putting Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders in that. They would not have been drafted over Caleb, Jaden Daniels, or Drake May. There's just that reality doesn't exist. Now, where you rank them with J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. is a little bit of a different conversation, but the guys this year are talented. They are not as good as the elite tier we had last year.
Matt Miller, ESPN draft expert, joining us on the Tailgate 670 The Score. I'm Paul Papps. Let's get to the Bears. I want to go back a little bit because I was not a fan of the Bears' 2024 draft strategy. Adunze with the 9th pick, as good of a college player and a pro he is and going to be, I looked at Brock Bowers as once in a 5 or 6 year tight end and more physical, and he was available. And I don't care that you have Cole Kmet. An Ivy League lineman in round 3 by the Bears, to me, is too big of a risk and a project for a team that needed a Big Ten lineman or an SEC lineman.
Yep.
And then in the 4th round, Torrey Taylor, the punter. Maybe the greatest punting prospect of the past 10 years. However, that's not the strategy that team needed to do. It needed to build in the inside, interior, both sides of the line last year. It felt like a luxury draft by the Bears. Did you like it at the time, and how do you look at it now?
I liked it a lot at the top, obviously. You know, I loved Caleb Williams. He was my number one overall player last year. So it's like, okay, you got that right. So I actually, and I loved Rome Odunze and thought, gosh, these two are going to work really well together, you know, because of that. Rome is so tough. He's so physical. He's going to give Caleb that guy who can win the 50-50. You've got DJ Moore, you know, who's more of your speed guy. You've got the savvy route runner and Keenan Allen. Like, I loved the idea of putting those two guys together. I'm with you on the other picks. It felt cute. And I'm a believer in, like, Ryan Poles can evaluate talent. I'm a big believer in that. But I didn't think a developmental tackle at pick 75, I think he was,
right,
was the right value. And I definitely didn't think a punter. And I know it's like if you draft a good punter, he's going to play for you for 15 years. So it's like, is that worth a late fourth round pick? Yes, it is. If you solve the position for a decade, it is worth it. But it's also like, I'm kind of the belief you should really never draft a kicker or a punter, because guys like Cameron Dicker are out there, you know, are just available to sign after the draft. So what's funny is I liked Austin Booker, who they got in the fifth round, a lot. Like, if you had drafted him in the third round, I would have said, you know, it's a little early, but dude, he's got some twitch. He's, you know, he can bend the edge. He's what they need. They need that speed rusher opposite Sweat. So if you had said, okay, well, we drafted Austin Booker in the third and Kieran in the fifth, they would be like, okay, that's a pretty good draft class. So I liked it more on, you know, when we were leaving Detroit than I do now. And I think that's just the hindsight of the draft, obviously. And knowing where some of their weaknesses are, you know, is like, okay, you know, the running back position wasn't as solved as we thought it was. The center and guard positions were not as figured out as we thought they were on paper. That's every team. We could do that for all 32 teams. You know, we could do it for the Eagles and Chiefs and say, gosh, you really blew that pick, but you have enough other good decisions to cover it up.
All right. I'm going to let you, Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst, join the tailgate. I'm going to let you be the Bears GM for the next 3 months. You have three picks in the first 40 of April's draft. What would your, without naming names, because we're not getting that minutia, but what would your overall draft strategy be walking to the draft day?
Yeah, I think if you're the Bears, that you got to figure out the interior offensive line. So, you know, guard and center are huge, huge priorities for me. And at 10 overall, that might be early to draft a guard in this draft. So I would say pivoting from guard center, defensive tackle would be the one for me. And I know they've thrown some picks there in previous drafts.
I saw some of your notes that defensive tackle might be the deepest position in this draft.
Yeah, I have 31 guys in my top 100 right now at defensive tackle. So it's ridiculously deep. So, like, I know this is boring, but, like, best player available at a position of need, that's what Philly has done. Like, that's how he Roseman to a T is, we don't reach for need. We draft on value. We play the board. Even a guy like Nolan Smith, he started falling in the draft and was like, they don't really need him, but the value's too good. And now he's such a huge pivotal part in year two or three for him of their defense. I think the Bears got to get to that idea as well of, okay, well, maybe we, like your point, maybe we don't need Brock Bowers. Okay, well, you might not need another tight end, but he's so different than Cole Kmet. Surely he could work into your offense because he was just the best player available at that point. I would say the same thing this year. You know, like, if Will Johnson from Michigan, the corner, is there at 10, and you're like, well, he's the best player on the board, but we don't really need a corner because we have Jalen Johnson. Yes, you do. You always need more corners.
Right.
You always need more pass rushers. Just, you're drafting in the top 10 because you're bad. Just take the best player available.
And it goes back to what you said about the Eagles. Jalen Carter was not a need, but he dropped four or five spots and became available without having to trade up really much. And there's a guy who had a little baggage going into the draft. They had Fletcher Cox, but he was on his way out. And they said, hey, let's get the best defensive lineman at one half the salary, not one half, but a little lesser salary. And they did
a lot lower. Yeah.
All right. Let's get to this. I have a policy for the Bears if I was GM on draft day. In the first three rounds, I don't draft anybody under 275 pounds. Generally, do you agree with me?
Yes. That's like, that's where the league's going, right? And so I'm a huge University of Texas football fan, and I've heard Sark talk about big people beat up little people.
Right.
That's football. It's just
sounds like my childhood.
It's simple. No, same. But yeah, like I was like 100 pounds in the seventh grade. Yeah, like big people tend to beat up little people. So, yeah, whether that be a D tackle or a powerful defensive end or a guard or a center, that might be their strategy the entire draft until pick up a running back late in the draft. But other than that, just get big people.
All right, Matt Miller, thanks for the Bears talk. ESPN draft analyst joining us on the tailgate. I'm Paul Papst. A couple more. NFC North, real quick. Should the Vikings, what will they do? What should they do at the quarterback position?
They should start J.J. McCarthy. They drafted him last year. I think you let Darnold walk. That playoff game should be your buyer beware.
Like an opening to let him walk.
That would terrify me.
Yeah.
Let him walk. Get the playoff game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that, you know, if you would have asked me week 14, I would have said, you got to sign Sam Darnold. But at the end of the season, his play at the end in the biggest stage, you're like, that gives us a little bit of wiggle room, both public perception wise and financially, to go to JJ McCarthy.
And I would say you have the table set. You have Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hawkinson. You get Christian Darrisaw back. You've got a good, like, you've got a good infrastructure. The time is not ever going to be better to see if JJ McCarthy's your guy or not. Like, now's the time. You got a good defense. While you have that core group in place and it's affordable, I think you got to find out if McCarthy's your guy.
Last thing, Detroit Lions defensive line was an issue because of injuries all second half of the season. Will and should the Detroit Lions give up two first round picks or whatever the cost for Myles Garrett of the Browns?
They have money. I don't think they will, but I think they should. Like, why not take that swing? Why not? You know, it's like with Philly and AJ Brown, or, you know, the Bills have even done some things, and like the Von Miller move for the Bills hasn't really worked out, but why not be aggressive? You know, you only get so many of those opportunities. So yeah, I hope they do it. That'd be great.
It reminds me of the Rams 4 or 5 years ago when they made up those gave up draft picks and Jalen Ramsey and all different players, and they got one Super Bowl of it. I'm a Cubs fan. You're listening to Cubs Network right now, and the Cubs got a World Series in 16 because they sold out for different things, and it worked. Yep. The Lions need one. They don't need three. They need one.
Yeah, I'm a Royals fan. So, yeah, you know, so sometimes it's like, oh, you watch the slow build of guys coming up through double A and triple A, but then every now and then you're like, can we just get Ben Zobrist and close this thing out? You know, like, sometimes you got to do that. And if it's, especially if it's Myles Garrett, we're talking a first ballot Hall of Famer at a premium position, and you're going to be drafting at like 29 to 32.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. I'll do that. No problem.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining the Score. I can't wait to follow you all leading up to the draft in April.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
I am such a draft junkie. I could talk about it all month leading up to the draft. I can't wait to get ready for the draft. The Bears 10th pick. Very interesting what they're going to do. By the way, work on the side. This is Paul Papp, 670 The Score, tailgate host. I work also on the Dan Patrick Show. The Dan Patrick Show is going to spend 4 days in Green Bay for the draft. We're doing a few shows there. And I've only spent 2 days in Green Bay before I saw a game. So I'm going to need some tips from the listeners. What do I do for 4 days in Green Bay? All right, coming up next, it's our final Pub and Grub of the Week. The Bears Stadium site update. I want to riff on this for a bit, and our offseason plans. The Bears fan morale meter, all that is next. I'm Paul Papp, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of The Tailgate with Paul Papp.
You're supposed to be a professional.
We'll work harder than anybody to win. But man, when we're dead tired in the fourth quarter, winning's got to mean more than just money.
You're hired to do a job.
Job! Job! I don't want no job. I want to play football. I want some feeling. I want some team spirit.
This ain't no high school. You don't have to love each other to play.
It's just what I mean, you bastard. Every time I call a game, you call it a business. And every time I call a business, you call it a game.
Saturdays on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app.
Back on the tailgate, 670 The Score. I'm Paul Papps, your host every week, talking football, talking all kinds of stuff. That clip is from North Dallas 40. Another great movie. Today is the 40th anniversary of Breakfast Club, a great Chicago film. If you want to feel old, it's the 40th anniversary of Breakfast Club. Check that out. Always really good. Don't forget, Homage. This show is brought to you by Homage. Go to homage.com and get cozy. It's going to be cold. Order a hoodie. NFL hoodies, basketball, NFL football, whatever you want to do, go to homage.com. H-O-M-A-G-E. It's hoodie season, Robbie. Let's get to it. Pub and Grub of the Week. We feature a pub where you can eat, drink, and watch football. Here's one. I may or may not have been there last night at 11 o'clock. The Galway Arms. The Galway Arms, 2442 North Clark. Super cozy Irish pub. Bangers and mash. If you don't know what that is, just order it. Thank me later. And pints. Pints, pints, pints. The Galway Arms. Not Galway. Galway Arms, 2442 North Clark. I want to do a couple minutes here on the Bears Stadium situation. I could do an hour on this. But I called a friend at the Bears, a source at the Bears, and I asked him to update me on the situation. He said, we are in absolute lockdown with talk about the stadium situation. When the Bears hired Ben Johnson a few weeks ago, all was well in Bearland. And if you notice, Kevin Warren, right after the hire, started ramping up the top of the topic of the stadium situation again. I'm going to take 30 seconds here. I have nothing against Arlington Heights. I think Arlington Heights makes a lot of sense to build hotels and whatever in a big place, and it's great, and they bought it. I think the buying of the Arlington Heights place is negotiation to get a better situation here in the city. I've lived outside of Chicago for a long time. I get back here as much as I can. I'm going to be spending a lot more time here going forward. I came back for the Rams game, and I was sitting high seats, section 400 at the Rams game. Chicago is the most beautiful city in America, and this is not pandering. We have a lake. You have a lake with beaches. You have high rises in one direction, a lake with beaches, a huge lake in the other direction. You're at that Bears Stadium. It's one of the more gorgeous settings in all of football. I've been at almost every NFL stadium. New York, you ever been to a New York Jets or Giants game? It's brutal. It's not a pretty place. There has to be a downtown stadium. Stop. Full stop. Nothing against the suburbs, north, south, east, whatever. There are no east suburbs. The west suburbs, east suburbs will be really tough because that would be in the water. But you have to have a downtown stadium. You have to. It's just a beautiful place. Changes to the park district. I know it's all negotiations, but I think that the Bears' ultimate plan is to be downtown. I think it's going to take a long time. I know there's other places, Michael Reese and different places, hospital sites, but this is the most beautiful city in our country. You have a lake right here, everything right here. People come downtown. The views are beautiful. The stadium could match that, whatever they're going to do. All right, this has been a lot of fun. Let's recap the show. It's been such a treat for me to go through the ups and downs of the football season with you guys every week. Saturday mornings, I've had as much fun as you did. It's great to be here on The Score, my hometown. Thanks to our producers, Robbie, Alex, Sean, and Tyler all season. Thanks to Amish for bringing the show. Thanks to Ryan Porth and Mitch Rosen for the backing. Came up with this idea a year ago at Super Bowl, ran into Mitch Rosen. He said, let's do something. I said, let's do it, Mitch. I've known Mitch forever. Awesome. And Mitch told me the other day we're going to do the show again next year. Fantastic. Can't wait. But you'll hear me here and there on The Score in the offseason. No doubt. Maybe on a few TV stations as well. You know, maybe some more time here spent in the DePaul neighborhood, pick up a pad, something like that. Spend some more time with my family and friends. But most importantly, to be back in my hometown to talk sports with the teams we love, I love, and have some fun doing it. I'm pumped up. All right. That is the tailgate for this season. That is the tailgate. I'm Paul Pabst. I hope you had fun. I had a lot of fun. I'll talk to you soon. Maybe see you even sooner. It's been an absolute pleasure to hang at this station in this city every Saturday morning to talk to you. I love you. This is the tailgate. Talk to you soon. 670 The Score.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The March to Spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseball Isn't Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.